Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Tracker. Tracker makes losing things a thing of the past. Pair Tracker to your smartphone, attach it to any item, and find its precise location with a tap of a button. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter promo code AAA for 30% off your entire order. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/android. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Go to ring.com/allaboutandroid and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit with their limited time offer. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 284, recorded on Tuesday, September 20th, 2016. We're your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
How's it going, y'all?
I'm still thinking about the puppies from the pre-show.
Yeah, we were looking at little German Shepherd puppies.
Man. Less than a minute and you went right to the video, Brian. Yeah. That's how you know Brian's back.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian came back into the country, by the way, everyone. Welcome, Brian, back.
Welcome back, Brian. It's good to have you behind the controls.
It's good to be back. I didn't think you guys would notice I was gone.
We noticed.
We noticed, but then we forgot what you looked
like. It's not that we noticed you were gone. It's that my Instagram was filled with pictures from you on your trip, so it was hard to forget that you were gone because you were constantly reminding us.
It was very easy to forget because Josh did such a good job.
That's precisely right.
Wait, are you saying Josh didn't bring up any videos of puppies or anything?
No.
Look at his ears, his little bat ears.
He was too concerned with what he was going to say at the news bumper.
Right. On topic.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we have a guest today.
We do have a guest.
After 3 weeks of not having a guest. It's just kind of been a crazy 3 weeks, but we're super psyched to welcome back Tim Schofield, QBKing77.com on YouTube, all over the map. How's it going, Tim?
It's going great. How are you?
Doing awesome. It's great to get you back. I think the last time you were on, I was actually out, so I didn't get to enjoy that episode. What have you been working on lately?
Lately been doing some LG V20 coverage on my YouTube channel.
Excellent.
And also getting all prepared for Pixel stuff, I guess. Just waiting on that to come out next week.
The craziness is like right around the corner. There you are eating nougat, as we all tried to do, and then realized maybe this is my favorite dessert ever.
Speaking of nougat, to completely change the subject, but I just have to say...
Yes.
I was talking to my parents on the phone the other day, and I said nougat to my father. We were talking about dessert, actually, not Android. But I said nougat to my father, and he goes, "What's that?" And I'm like, "You know, like nougat, like the thing that's in candy." And he's like, "I don't know what that is." And then my mother's like, "Come on, you know what it is." And he's like, "Oh, that's not how you say it. It's you mean nougat?"
Oh, whoa.
There
you
go. Now we're back to the nougat.
No, I mean, he gave me like a whole speech about it, you know, like, no, that's not how you say it. Like you say nougat. And then I kept saying nougat and he did not understand that I was
saying it. You are not my daughter if you can't say it properly. It's nougat.
Well, but it's so interesting because my parents have been in this country for like 30 years and nougat's not really like a word that you say often.
Yeah, it's not
and so
out there.
They still know how to say it like the European way. And so
There you go.
It really is. Everybody's been telling us this anyway.
I think on my videos, every time I make a video on nougat, at least 20 different comments from different people. I think there's got to be 4 or 5 different ways to say it because everyone tries to correct me the way I say it.
I know. You
should adopt the approach we've taken, which is just say it differently every time.
that's also the way to do it. But I mean, I feel bad. It's like, but at the same time, like I'm an American, you know, we butcher everything. So
that's true. And we're proud of it.
Proud to be an American.
Or at least I know why.
I can butcher words as I want to. Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. God, it amazes me how quickly you do things like that. It's good to have you back in the Commander C2.
You guys have a lot of the same themes going on.
So. Wait a minute, what you're saying is
we make the same jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right, good. I will accept that, and I think you're absolutely right. We do have a lot to talk about this week. We're going to be discussing Google's official announcement of its new Pixel hardware strategy, improvements to text-to-speech engine, Samsung's rush to beat the iPhone, and what that meant, which we've already talked about a little bit about that before. We've got some new information there. Google Trips for travel, neural networks for SwiftKey text prediction, Florence's phone buzzing every once in a while because she's really popular. And a whole lot more.
Sorry.
That's okay. We talk about phones. I think a little bit of phone noise is actually good.
My best guy background. Friend IMs me during the show, hangouts me, like his comments as we're doing it. So, and
I swear,
new phone today.
Someday you will just say my best friend.
Right. Anyway.
Brian, I think you have plenty of ammo. Let's get to the news.
Whether it's pronounced nougat or nougat, we've got plenty of news filling for you on Android. Ooh. Ooh.
There you go, topical. Brian's the best in the biz. There you go.
Yeah, he's pretty darn good.
So, speaking of topical, quite a lot of news swirling around Google as Google finally confirmed the Tuesday, October 4th event. The hype train has officially left the station, people. Google announced via a teaser site, which can be found at madeby.google.com, which shows an outline of a phone with a carousel of images inside it. It's hard to know for sure if the photos were taken with one of the new phones, but interestingly enough, not surprising, the event will be held in San Francisco at 9 a.m. Pacific time. It'll be that morning and streamed to YouTube as well. And they keep saying this made by Google, which really kind of, you know, goes in the face of what we've heard in terms of the rumors that HTC actually made the hardware. So are they saying it's made by Google but manufactured by HTC? Well, how will HTC be involved? That's one of the questions. But then also even bigger news was that Google ran teaser ads for this date and the event during, of all TV shows, The Big Bang Theory on television.
Of course, you know.
Which, man,
of course,
what are you going to do?
Right.
Bazinga. And then additionally, in a move that we've seen before from Google, Alphabet-owned company Nest ran an ad in the Netherlands for its products, and there appears to be someone using one of the new Pixel phones in the ad. We saw this a couple of years ago when they posted a video before the announcement with the actual new phone in it and then quickly took it back and that sort of thing.
Five.
Yeah.
It was a statue unveiling for KitKat.
Exactly.
At the campus.
So we're seeing leaks. We're seeing announcements. We got a website. What do we make of it, Tim? What do you make of this made by Google stuff?
Well, I was watching Monday Night Football because the Bears were playing, and I saw the ad for it and was super confused. It's just so unlike Google to actually put out a marketing campaign for some of their hardware. Saw that there was a big ad in Times Square and just a bunch of other things. But otherwise, I'm pretty excited, though. Although you do got to know that with this more marketing going on and popularity going to go up, you're going to have to end up paying a little bit more. So you're probably not going to get early Nexus prices. You're probably
there
gonna
goes
have to
the
pay
neighborhood.
A little bit more. So,
yeah. Something bothers me about Made by Google.
Why?
Why? Because it's not.
I feel like it's disingenuous.
Yeah. Okay, hold up. Wait a minute. What do you mean it's disingenuous?
Because this,
it's
it
not.
Depends on how they're defining Made by Google. If it's HTC. That's manufactured.
Oh boy,
this.
Here we go.
And
okay.
It's the same as every Nexus device that's ever been made, which have not been made by Google. They've been made with Google's, let's say, direction, influence, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
But it's not hardware that's made by Google in the same way that Pixel C was, or the Chromebook Pixel, or whatever, made in-house at Google. That's what I want. I want Google to put its stamp on these phones and release a phone that is their hardware, and then they can say made
by Google.
That's
what they're doing. They licensed HTC to make it for them.
Which is what they've done every single year for Nexus devices.
Yeah,
why
but
is this
it's
different?
Not any different just because HTC is doing it. Just because HTC is, because they're struggling, we have to give them more of like a front row because they're doing a Nexus device.
I feel like it is different. I feel like it actually is
I don't
very
think
different.
It's different.
Because the thing that I really like about the Pixel, the Chromebook Pixel,
mm-hmm.
the thing that I mean... I don't use the Pixel C, but right. what I really liked about the Pixel C is that that's Google's stamp. That is Google saying, here is how we make hardware. We make hardware.
But they don't, Jason. They don't, though.
Yeah, they do. Exactly.
I mean, they've outsourced the manufacturing of the Google Pixel C the same way Apple has Foxconn build iPhones.
Well, for sure. Okay, so they don't have a factory in their building, but right. they're not working. Like, by all accounts, these devices are very similar in design to HTC's other phones.
Yes, yes.
That is not made by Google to me. That is, hey, HTC, what you got? Oh, I kind of like that. Let's go with that.
But made by Google's referring more specifically to Android, because Google's trying to take back Android and be like, this is our operating system. This isn't Samsung's operating system, just because they're the number one, you know, Android smartphone in this country or whatever. Yeah. It's us that's making this, so you guys need to know that. We're actually making Android. We're the ones doing all the initial programming. We're the ones coming up with the features that you want to use. And pretty soon, you're going to be tapping into... I mean, once Google Assistant goes live, like... That's made by Google. There's no HTC in there.
There are other elements.
I mean, HTC made the components, and I'm sure they're going to have a little, like... logo on the back, just the way the 6P does, and I believe the 5X has LG on the back, and the last couple of... Yes, Ron.
What will be super interesting to that point is how they handle the mentioning of HTC, if at all, during the event.
Yeah, right.
You know, so if they're saying we've partnered with HTC to bring you the new Pixels or whatever, or if they say we're bringing you the new Pixels, that will be the defining. I think that Jason, you know, will address your concern about the use of made by Google. They're saying, you know, listen, we outline the specs or whatever, and HTC is doing the manufacturing because they do such a great job. And let's be honest, they kind of need the business. Then you know it will be the way they tell the story of the brand and what this Google Pixel means, I think, will go a long way as far as to whether, you know, you're right to be upset or if it's hackneyed marketing.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't say that I'm upset about it, because
I think you're heated.
It's fun to talk about. Yeah. And
I actually feel a lot of emotion emanating off of you right now. That
flow.
Well, usually you're very chill, and then you got really serious, and I was like, "Oh, uh-oh. It's going down."
No, I just, you know, what I would love is to feel like when I use the Pixel and when I use the Pixel C, and you know, even with Google Glass, let's say. There is a certain kind of element, certain aspect to these devices that to me feels made by Google, actually. Like, whether that tagline existed or not, I do consider this to be a product of Google. And, you know, the Google Glass, for better or for worse, to be a product of Google. Repurposing somebody else's hardware to then throw your name on it, whatever. I understand they had a lot of influence, and they probably... pulled a lot of the, you know, made a lot of those really hard decisions to make it. So maybe the lines are a little blurry there. I don't know. I kind of want Google to take it into its own hands entirely. Maybe that's wrong. What do you think, Tim?
I think it's okay to go to HTC if they can't handle all that big manufacturing that goes on. I think HTC has all those manufacturing avenues in place. So it was just kind of something making it easier for Google to focus on other things and just kind of partner with someone that already has those avenues to manufacture all these different products. But I agree with you. I think, like, for example, using the Pixel C, I do like the feel that they have just taken it all into their grasp and had complete control over it. There was absolutely no outside influence in that device. So I think overall, as long as they take the main control over these Pixel devices, I think it's okay. But in the near future, I would like to see them start to create their own manufacturing channels. Yeah.
So if they're going to do that, then excuse me, sorry about that. If they're going to do that, then they have to pick their own manufacturing, like, partners. And that is a lot of infrastructure to sort of, like, so to speak, infrastructure to put into place overseas where everything is made. Also, somebody's made a good point in the chat that it's easier to just pick up a phone design that's sort of ready to put together. And for HTC not making, let's be honest, they haven't been making as much money as they could be. This is an ample opportunity for them to kind of, like, help make some of that money by just selling directly to Google and, like, repackaging the no 10 doubt. Or whatever.
No doubt.
But I totally understand where you're coming from, because this is, I really feel like this is about more than just Google repackaging an HTC phone. And Ron and Tim, you guys let me know if you feel the same, but I feel like what's happening now is we're realizing that the MO for Android this year is going to be a little bit different than it was in years past.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's whole obvious. Marketing message is going to be, it's completely, like Google's trying, what I feel that they're trying to do now with this, you know, spot on CBS or whatever is say, remember how you get excited for the Apple events? Well, we're going to start doing them too. So they want to train like the sort of mainstream audience to expect that like every October there's going to be, you know, a new Android phone, you know, made by Google.
I don't know if I go that far, especially I don't necessarily want to see Google saying, well, we're doing that too. I don't want to see them kind of doing a follow, you know, like following Apple kind of scenario. But it's them taking hold of the Google name and associating it with cell phones in a more aggressively marketing sense than they have in the past. Whereas previously, Google and Android has kind of fallen, you know, behind the scenes and let Samsung and let HTC and T-Mobile and AT&T and all the other ones kind of sell the product for them. Now they're being a little more aggressive in how they're doing it, and which I think is a good thing. But actually now as we talk about it, Jason, I'm kind of leaning with you now as well, because how cool would it be if we didn't see these leaks and we didn't know it was already an HTC phone, and when they unveil this new phone, it looks unlike any other phone on the market. Mm-hmm. You know, like similar to how the Pixel C looked like nothing else on the market at the time. You know, like doing something interesting with the industrial design a la Nexbit, or some of the other companies that are doing interesting things with the way phones are, to make it really, really unique, to continue driving that message. If they came up, what I think is interesting is that they might have already set the momentum going with HTC on these round of phones and decided to rebrand a Pixel after the fact.
Yeah.
And that might explain why the phones look like more like HTC. And in that case, do future Pixels end up looking more independent, Jason, the way you'd like to see them? But this is kind of like the, you know, 0.5 version of it. I don't know.
Right. The stepping stone to that point,
yeah,
where maybe next year ends up being the, okay, check it out, the fully, you know, designed and many, you know, in process from the ground up Google phone, the Pixel.
The other interesting thing, which I'm really watching closely with these commercials and with the October 4th event, is that I really hope, because if I worked at Google, this would be the first thing I went into the office saying, but like Samsung's batteries blows up. Everyone hates the earbuds on iPhone. We have an opportunity to step up and say, here is a real alternative. And whether they decided to do these ads before the Samsung debacle and the iPhone 7, or if this is a reaction to this moment in time where they could really step forward with this Pixel brand and make a big splash, time will tell. We'll hear that story, I think, after the fact, hopefully. But it's a real opportunity for them to lay out a strong market position and go strong into the holidays with lots of sales.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Going along with that, Ron, especially whether or not they decided this marketing last minute or not, but they are in a great opportunity, especially because I think in general, Google is getting a little upset at how everyone specifically sees Android as Samsung. I mean, when it comes down to it, especially just the general public, all of my friends, every single one of them, pretty much none of them have heard of Nexus devices. Most of them consider Galaxy devices Android, and then iPhones made by Apple. So I think overall, it's kind of an opportunity for them to kind of take back control, letting people know that Android is actually from them and not any other specific manufacturer.
Yeah. And Google seems emboldened right now now more than ever, to kind of make that step and not fear kind of we're ticking off the partners that we've had for so long and making that step in that direction.
How are they going to? Without Google, you're nothing, honey.
That's been the argument until the last couple of years, let's say, where people are like, oh, Google would never do that. They don't want to, you know, annoy the partners that, you know, they don't want to compete against the people that are the companies that are making Android a success. Now I think Google kind of cares less about that aspect. Hey, we have some video mail.
We do.
Two video mail, not one, but two on this topic. The first is Dan, and he left us a video regarding Pixel pricing.
Hi, AAA crew. I'm Dan from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and I had a crazy idea this weekend I wanted to get your thoughts on. On October 4th, Google's expected to release two new Pixel devices, which are supposed to be high-end flagship devices. What if they could give us a device that, let's say, would rival the Galaxy S7, but they did it at a traditional Nexus pricing? So we get a flagship phone at mid-range $400 US pricing. If anyone could pull that off, it would be Google, giving us a device that they break even on or just make a little bit of profit. We've asked for years, why would the average user use a Nexus device? Now we have our answer. Anyone who could get a high-end device for that kind of pricing would be stupid not to jump on it. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, Dan is intense. I like Dan. Yeah. He's really he's staring into my soul.
He's staring into your soul. Yes.
Yeah.
You read my mind. So, what do we think? Do we think these are going to be priced competitively, or do we think these are going to be premium? I think the leaks have been, at least the leaked information, is that they're going to be high end pricing.
I hope they're lower. I agree with Dan. If they came in with a $399 phone that was amazing and blow everybody out of the water, that would be that would be great. But I doubt it.
I mean, BlackBerry turned off for a phone for $700, and
yeah.
But I think Google would have more, much more luck.
Yeah, more clout to pull.
Much more clout to be able to say, "Give us $650, please."
Back in the day, BlackBerry would have had that clout.
Absolutely.
Now they do that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing them putting out a cheap budget device, or at least less expensive. I think it's probably going to be flagship pricing, especially with all of this marketing that's starting to come out.
Yeah, but I mean, to Dan's point, with all this marketing that's starting to come out, raising the kind of expectation, raising the bar, and then suddenly it comes out and it's priced low. But I don't know, maybe that ends up shooting it in the foot. Maybe that ends up painting public perception that it's not.
Maybe that, I don't think it's going to have,
Yes, that.
Maybe we will get like a nice high-end Nexus device.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be called the Pixel. Alum Ashcroft also has a video mail. Let's check his out.
Hi, All About Android. This is Alan calling you from, well, rainy England today, actually. I just have a thought. Why on earth would Google be wanting to get rid of the Nexus brand this year of all years? Don't they realize the sequel to Blade Runner's out next year? I mean, come on, guys. You're talking geeks, sci-fi, Nexus. It's got to work, hasn't it? Keep up the good work. Bye.
Well, so before we... He's wearing a Bazinga shirt, by the way. I just wanted to note that. Going back to the Big Bang Theory. So I have a hard time listening to somebody talk about the geek cred of Blade Runner when you're wearing a Bazinga shirt. Yep, there it is. There it is. But as history shows, Blade Runner was a flop when it was initially released. And it only took 20 years to get a cult following. So I'm not sure they want to ally themselves with that.
Thank God for Ron.
Yeah,
because I actually didn't know it wasn't very popular. I thought it was like,
oh no, it was well, because the theatrical release is a mess. You want to watch the director?
Yeah,
Bazinga.
Whoa, I got some studying to do on Blade Runner.
Excellent stuff. All right, we're all really looking forward to the Pixel devices. Here's a total change in direction before we wrap up the news. But this is the kind of, I mean, I get kind of nerdy on this kind of stuff because I like audio topics and all that kind of stuff. If you have ever felt like Google's text-to-speech engine should be improved, sounds a little too robotic, things like that. I mean, it's come a long way, right? Like, do you remember 5 years ago what we got out of text-to-speech? What we have now is like miles improved. And you can expect that to change sometime in the near future and get even better. Google is continuing to work on a new engine called WaveNet, and it sounds really good. It takes kind of what we have already heard and rounds it out. It's actually done by modeling the waveform a single sample at a time, as opposed to stitching together kind of phonetic phrases over a long period of time. And it's AI that's running behind the surface. It's basically the same product of DeepMind. Do you remember DeepMind last year, where it took the images and then it applied certain filters to the certain like image pattern recognition to the filters, so it made things really psychedelic.
I know about DeepMind.
That was the freaky thing. Yeah,
that disturbed me. Where suddenly you saw dogs flying in the sky and you wondered if somebody had poisoned you.
Are you talking about my dreams every night? Because that's, dreams every night is the DeepMind.
DeepMind looks like dreams. That's exactly it. So this is the AI behind that, but applied to audio. And they didn't know exactly what they were going to get when they did that. But when they did it, they were like, wow, this actually makes things sound better. Not only that, it can be applied to music too. So you can take like... You can learn or train the AI on like, you know, I think they threw tons and tons and tons of like piano concertos at it and then let it go to town. And it created its own music out of those pieces because it just knows how to like.
Humanity is done.
It's crazy.
Humanity is finished.
Anyway, long story short, neural networks, artificial intelligence, we're all combining.
We're
to
all
make...
dead in the next century. I just hope you all know.
That's basically it.
It starts today.
There we go. But really cool article, and there's, you know, sound selections that you can poke through if you dive in there. But
I will say, just to troll a little bit, I would rather listen to Google's, you know, text to voice whatever translator than Siri any day.
What are you talking about? I just got Siri on my laptop. It was like my first hands-on introduction.
At least Cortana is like a little, you know, sultry. You know, but like, sorry to the woman who voiced Siri, but it's just not happening for me.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of, you know, I have a little reflex whenever I hear her of an AI that doesn't work.
Yeah. Okay. I will.
Those are my feelings.
I don't know. I will know because I updated to macOS Sierra on my Mac laptop and tried using Siri for like 5 minutes. And I don't know. I wasn't that impressed.
I'm on the last cat on this one.
What's up, Ron?
I was going to say, I tweeted earlier, I refuse to install the new Mac OS because it doesn't include a new version of King's Quest or Space Quest. So.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Really nerd. Old nerd jokes nerd. That Flo doesn't get. Yeah, so.
Nerd.
I know what King's Quest is.
Oh, it was all so right, good. Right. It was so good.
It's called MS-DOS.
What do you say we thank a sponsor?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Tracker. Smart cars, smartphones, smart homes. Technology has made everything smart, but losing one's possessions can make smart people feel less smart. Tracker makes losing things a thing of the past. I always was losing my keys. Now I got a Tracker on my keychain. I will never lose it again because Tracker is a coin-sized device that locates misplaced keys, wallets, backpacks, bicycles, computers, even pets in seconds. You just pair the Tracker device to your smartphone, attach it to any item, and find its precise location with the tap of a button. It's just that easy. Your phone can track up to 10 devices at once, and Tracker is enabled by Bluetooth LE, so the battery lasts up to a year. You can customize two-way separation alerts so you're notified before you forget your item. Lose your phone? Press the Tracker button and your phone rings, even if it's on silent. You can now personalize your Tracker with a laser engraved message or custom printed image. And in fact, I got one of the nifty Trackers with the All About Android logo on there. And that's what's on my keys. I will never lose my keys again. And Jason's got it there. It's awesome. It just fits on my keychain, just like my other little keychain things, like my Mets logo and stuff like that. So fits right in. It looks cool while I'm doing it. And I never lose it, which is awesome. With over 1.5 million devices, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS network in the world. So your lost item shows up on a map, even if it's miles away, which is amazing when you think about it. You're tapping into all the Tracker users to help you find your lost item. It's awesome. The Tracker app records your lost item's last known location on the map. When another Tracker user comes within a 100-foot range of your item, you'll receive a GPS update of your item's location. Tracker Atlas works with your Tracker Bravo or third-party Bluetooth Tracker to pinpoint your items on a customizable floor plan of your home. Simply ask Tracker Atlas where your item is and you'll instantly get an answer. No need to search. So this is what you want to do. Go to thetracker.com. That's thetracker, T-R-A-C-K-R.com, and never lose your possessions again. Plus, just for our All About Android audience, you can enter promo code AAA and you'll get 30% off your entire order. That's thetracker.com, thetracker.com, promo code AA for 30% off your entire Tracker order, and never lose your things ever again.
Thank you, Tracker, for your support. What's up?
I love the idea of putting the Tracker on an animal.
Yeah.
Like if you have a cat or a dog and you can find it. So that's there you go.
There you go. And it can jingle, you know, when they want.
Yeah.
All right, let's check out some hardware.
So like with any tragedy, we're always looking for someone to blame for why bad things happen.
Good point.
Well, considering the exploding Note 7s, of course, we're trying to find a reason for why the Note 7s explode besides, you know, the actual practical technological reasons. Bloomberg is reporting that Samsung rushed to bring the Note 7 to market to capitalize on what it believed to be a weak upcoming iPhone release. Suppliers and manufacturing partners were pressured to move up production to meet earlier deadlines, and in the rush to do so, battery production had flaws that has resulted in, as we all know, the combustion of phones and the recall of them. The Samsung and the Consumer Product Safety Council, the CPSC, they have issued an official recall. They did so late last week, and you can get replacement devices starting tomorrow, September 21st. Samsung's already said that there's 500,000 units on their way to the United States, or I don't know, everywhere in the world, I guess.
Yeah. I have not heard a single thing from Samsung ever since, like, calling in and kicking off the process. So I'm, like, totally in the dark at this point as far as what's next, whether I'm going to receive something in the mail or whatever. I hope it happens.
It's like in any crisis, it's hard to just have clear communication. You just got to focus on getting out of there.
I'm honestly surprised Facebook didn't have an alert to say whether or not you had a Samsung. I'm sorry, I'm going to stop this joke before I finish it. You know, they have the alert system when, like, a disaster happens. I own a Galaxy Note. I own a Note 7 and I'm okay.
Well, my fiance said his Southwest app actually gave him an alert. No Note 7s. So he's like, you know, whatever, flying for work.
Oh, yeah.
So his Southwest app said, like, you can't bring a Note 7 on this flight.
Wow.
I flew this past weekend on JetBlue, and they did the same thing. They made a specific point, and we know we reported this, but they said, if you have a Note 7, please do not turn it on, charge it, or anything, you know, so.
Don't let anyone that's sitting around you know that you actually have it, because they're probably going to freak out based on everything they've read.
So I just want to say, I feel like this Bloomberg article is kind of stretching it a little bit, because as we know from the last, 6 years, Samsung always launches the Note during this time of year. It always launches it. In fact, you could probably say that Apple's the one who changed their schedule to coincide with the Note 7 launch. Because remember, the iPhone used to release in June, and now it releases in October. So, who's zooming whom?
Ooh.
Aretha Franklin.
And with the Aretha Franklin reference.
But honestly, I feel like it's a danger to report things in this manner, because, first of all, we have a lot of scared people, which is completely valid. Like, you should be worried that there are phones exploding, okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely valid. But bad information like this, I mean, obviously, for Samsung, they're probably, this is like a PR freak out, you know? This is
This is about as bad as it gets for a company to accuse
of saying that, like, ooh, they had to rush it out to compete with the glorious Apple iPhone. You know, without taking into consideration the last 6 years that this, you know, Samsung has had this manufacturing schedule since I started covering Android.
Yeah.
And also, this story is purely driven by the fact that something went wrong.
Precisely. So,
if the phone was fine, is this even, they had to rush it. Of course they had to rush it. Everyone has to rush to market. I don't know. I'm with you, Flo, on this one.
Yeah.
I mean, I rush here every Tuesday.
You rush to the market is the Twit Studio every Tuesday. Tim, did you end up, because I know you review a lot of devices, you do lots of hands-ons and with devices and stuff. Did you end up getting the Note 7? Were you embroiled in this at all?
Yeah, I do. I actually have it right next to me, but it is off, though.
Don't turn it on.
Don't worry, it's off.
Okay. Tim, you need to contact Samsung PR and get that swapped out, by the way. I'm being really serious right now. I'm turning Flo Mom on you.
We're going to send you a shipping thing to send it back in, and I never got an email about it.
That's exactly where I'm at, man.
Yeah, so I'm just
Wait until after the show. I'll give you somebody's email, because I don't want that phone exploding. Like, I'm dead serious, okay? Well,
you just don't turn it on and it won't explode.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, but then how is he supposed to make YouTube videos?
Well, I'm sure he's going to
I'm thinking of you, Tim. I'm just thinking of you and your well-being.
You're so thoughtful, Flo.
I try.
So you called in. They said they were going to send this stuff. When did you call?
It had to have been probably about last Thursday, I think. Somewhere around then.
All right.
So they said it was getting taken care of. She was going to send me an email about everything. And just absolutely no contact since. And I've just kind of shut it off since then and been like, whatever, I guess I'll just kind of wait till, what is it, tomorrow when they're actually going to get devices. Maybe I'll give them a call tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're waiting for tomorrow for the official kind
that's
of
also
to
true
happen
for the official.
Really,
maybe that's why you haven't heard anything because yeah. Korea or China, this is made in China, right? Or Korea?
Korea, I believe.
Whatever. Yeah, okay, yeah. So it's made in Korea. So the Korean factories are probably like, everybody has to make all the new phones so they don't explode. And so that's what they've been doing for the last couple of weeks. And now they're like, everybody package them up really quickly. We're going to send a bunch of flights over. And so there's a bunch of phones right now flying on airplanes to the United
You've
States.
You've got like a movie playing in your brain. I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's been my life story. Can I just say the irony, BT Dubs, of the fact that to check if your Note 7 is safe to use, you have to turn on the phone and go into the settings and check for the IMEI information to check to see if you're part of the recalled batch.
I suppose if you still have the box, you don't have to turn on the phone because you can see it on the outside of the box.
Doesn't the back have it imprinted like really small towards the bottom?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have mine with me.
Let me look. Yeah, it's there.
Oh, really?
I forget about those. You know why? Because I never consider them.
Is that just a Samsung thing?
No, most phones do them.
ID number.
Yeah, or they'll do it on the inside.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, like the if it has a removable
like the tray
back
or something.
Yeah.
Or okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully
But they do say turn it on though on the website, I believe. I think that it said specifically turn it on, go to settings. It didn't specifically say look at the back of the device.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going a little far with the joke by turning it on because it's not going to instantly combust when you turn it on. I mean,
you don't know that, Ron.
The problem was while it was plugged in and charging and all that sort of stuff. So it's probably safe to turn on, get the IMEI, and then turn off. It's not like an incendiary device.
That could happen. That was an important point you just made, Brian.
If you haven't recalled your Note 7 again, you need to do that. Like, do it right now. Go to AT&T, Best Buy, Sprint, T-Mobile, US Cellular, and Verizon. They'll have landing pages. They can all now help you with the recall. Go get a new phone. Life is going to be okay. We're all going to be fine once this is taken care of.
I have also heard, and I don't know this for certain yet, because I have not sent back the phone. But from what I understand, Samsung's little deal where you sign up for the phone and then they end up giving you the choice of an S3 active or a 256 gig.
Did you mean an S7 active?
Or, no, the watch.
The Gear S3.
There we go. Sorry. Gear S3. The Gear S3 or the 256 gig little memory thing, you don't have to send that back. They don't ask for that back.
I would feel like.
I'm just saying.
They would be like.
Out of the deal, you end up getting.
Please
one of those.
Keep the freebies.
Just saying.
Consider nice us for your bonus. Next phone, we promise. Nice it'll be fine bonus. Next time.
All right, Ron, take us to virtual reality.
Well, with the Google event on the horizon, one has to wonder. The Google event is coming in October. Daydream is on the horizon as well. We're wondering whether or not there'll be some VR element. And in fact, if you go back in time earlier this year in February, Google filed a patent for a hand-controlled mobile VR headset. So basically a way for users to use their phone as the controller in their hand for touch and motion sensing when being used in VR. So given, you know, the previous announcement with Daydream and that schematic of what a Google headset might look like, plus this patent, do we think that maybe in addition to the Google Pixel phones, we will find out how they work with Daydream? I'm going to say probably. Tim, how do you rate this rumor or speculation? Do you think this is going to happen?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, very good chance, considering it seems like they're coming up with a whole specific thing for VR. And I think that's going to kind of set them apart in terms of from the Gear VR, in terms of Samsung's headset, being able to interact with it with your hands. I think that's just kind of a neat addition to it, especially considering it's probably not going to be as expensive since you can just plug it into your phone and use it. It gives hand controls an option on a more budget way to get it instead of having to buy a high-end PC by the, what is it, the Vive or the Rift, which are awesome, by the way. I really like both of them. Being able to interact with your hands is a great addition to VR. And I think allowing giving someone a more cheaper way to do this is a great addition to VR in general. So I think it's somewhat like, pretty likely, actually.
It's interesting they made that note because I'm not really deep in the VR world, but I watch a lot of my friends who are into it, like Jeff Cannata and Anthony Carboni and guys like that who talk about video games all the time. And as the Oculus was coming out and the Vive was coming out, it was less about the headsets and the VR experience, but more about the controllers and which ones are going to have the best controller to let you use them. And we've seen with Google Cardboard, it's been a controller-less environment. And so if they really want to make the jump to high-quality VR, truly immersive, there's going to have to be a controller component. And even though we saw a little bit about a controller in the Google I.O. presentation back in May, the idea of how Daydream pairs with your phone as a controller I think is really compelling and really interesting.
Yeah, what I'm wondering is when you look at this patent, so it's the phone in your hand is the control for the viewer that's on your face. So does that mean that your phone's not in the viewer that's on your face? Which is
no. It's like, I would imagine your phone would be either something you're in, or I don't know. I didn't read the patent,
or maybe,
but I'm guessing that they're using the accelerometer or the location of the phone in the hand to identify where you will be. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, no. I mean that makes sense to me. But you know, in any of the mobile VR kind of things that we've heard about Daydream, your phone is required in there, and it needs to, a certain screen technology in order to actually be mounted to the viewer. So, you know, is this meant to maybe drive a standalone VR? There was that rumor for a long time, and I don't even know if there's any basis to it. Maybe this is tied to you know, Google's possible intention of doing a standalone device, and now they aren't doing this. This is an old patent, so, you know, I don't know.
Brian, can you zoom in on the patent, the face in the patent? Just it's super. I've just been staring at Jason's screen.
He's really happy.
That's really creepy. That would make a good like Halloween like prop to put, like, you open the door, there's this like smiling figurine in white.
Yeah. They really
with disco balls in the background.
So welcome to my party.
What does the disco balls have to do with VR? Yeah.
It's a party. So, VR is a party.
Before we move on, speaking of VR, I just want to give quick props to Samsung, actually, because I don't know how many of you watched the Emmys on Sunday, but I rarely watch live television, but I watched the Emmys and I saw lots of commercials. And one of the commercials was that great commercial that Samsung is running for their VR product with the Oculus integration, where they film people using it. And it was just, I was really impressed at how it humanized the VR experience. And, you know, because I really feel like selling VR to the masses is going to be something that's going to be hard, because how do you really get across what happens in VR when you can't see it and experience it? But this approach for the Samsung Gear VR was really, like, effective. It was, they're good commercials. So, they'll probably be up on YouTube. You can find them. But, you know, there are these shots of just different people, senior citizens, young people, you know, couples, you know, things like that, all with the headset on and doing the reaction and stuff like that. At one point, one woman's crying. Like, you don't know what they're seeing. And the commercial ended with me going, oh, wow, I want to do what they were doing. So it just affected
I just wanted to share an anecdote that was, like, related to that. But
suddenly there was a brick wall on your face.
Trying to find the commercial.
Ah, there we go.
That's the exact one.
Yep.
But yeah, my friend's kids, they were like trying out the Gear VRs at Best Buy. They were just kind of hanging out. And so I sent her the Gear VR that I had at my house, because her kids were like super into it. And the pictures, she was like super thankful. And I was just thinking about why the Gear VR is so popular and why it's been successful, is because it's just like, it's so easy to use as long as you have the phone
and comfortable. Cardboard was a good introduction, I suppose, but there was never a level of comfort with it. You still had a piece of cardboard stuck in your face that you had to hold on to.
But I'm just thinking about mainstream consumers and people, like, just, you know, there's a mom, she has a Galaxy, you know, S7, and it can run all this stuff. And, like, she has, you know, two little boys. She wants to, like, you know, give them this experience. And all she has to do is spend $100, get this little, like, attachment.
Yeah. And they can go on a roller coaster ride.
Exactly. And then to Ron's point, talking about the woman who's crying, well, you can make your own little videos that are like, you know, 360 videos. Like, yeah. Imagine, I don't know, filming me giving birth and showing that to my mother. Like, oh, she would probably cry. I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Machu Picchu.
Just FYI, the studio feels really weird right now since I said that. There is an air of weirdness. And I'm really sorry. It just kind of came out of me.
Or maybe suddenly a weird guy with disco balls appears.
Smiling at you and won't go away. Go away, weird guy with disco balls. Seriously. I understand what you're saying. Something
very monumental for a woman.
Monumental. Well, anyway, it's a pretty important
scenario. Precisely.
Getting married. Maybe you're getting married. I don't know. You know, put that into VR, and then people that can't be at the wedding can experience it later.
Very good idea.
Yeah.
We already have a YouTube live page, but anyway, it's for another
day. That's not VR.
I know.
We had a party at our house a couple of weeks ago. Some good friends came over, and they saw the Gear VR hanging out, and they were like, oh, is that VR? You know, they had never played around with VR, so I loaded up, you know, the Samsung VR app and played some videos for them or whatever, and they were, like, way into it. I did a roller coaster ride inside the Gear VR, and, I mean, they were like, whoa, like, I feel like I have to sit down. This is really cool. Like, they were so into it.
No, totally. And I apologize, because when I originally brought up, like, my friends and her kids, I was having a hard time sort of, like, explaining it for some reason. But that's exactly why I was sort of, like, moved by seeing her boys, like, on Facebook with these, like, VRs on their head, just thinking about... I just realized for a lot of people, this is a completely unattainable thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just kind of like, Gear VR, whatever. I've already been to, like, 3 keynotes where it's used as part of the shtick. You know,
but a lot of people see it, and there's curiosity.
Precisely,
maybe, but,
it's like it's a curiosity.
Where do they have access to it?
Like, how, you know, how can kids use this? Like, how can adults use this? Anyway, I'm excited to see where VR takes off.
Me too.
For the mainstream,
I like VR. In fact, I'm going to the Oculus event in a couple of weeks to cover it for Twit, so I'm looking forward to that. Hey, we've got a different type of hardware to check out. Let's do that. Rev Danugi in chat. No, my party did not have disco balls in it. Sorry to disappoint.
Now I know what to get you for Christmas.
Please do. I would love to have a disco ball. I don't think our ceilings are high enough, though. Smartwatches have definitely died down as a trend. We've talked about it a lot. LG, Huawei, and Lenovo's Motorola have all confirmed to CNET that they will not be releasing any new watches before year's end. Normally, you know, this would happen right about this time. Normally, you would actually see a lot of this at IFA. This year, only Asus and Samsung had anything to show at IFA. Yep. These three companies, which did last year, did not this year, and in many cases have not released anything in the wear space or wearable space even this year, and they just kind of like,
Well, let's think about it. Motorola already had a pretty good run with the last generation of the 360. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty good. PG. Pretty good. That's what PG means. And then LG had kind of a disaster unfold with the Urbane, the LTE connected Urbane.
Yeah, the LTE, right.
And then we never heard from them after that, really. It just sort of...
They ended up releasing it eventually, but it just kind of...
They did, but I totally forgot about that they released it eventually.
Yeah, right.
Because that whole thing happened, and I was like, well, there goes that.
It really overshadowed it, but only to nerds like us.
Yeah, also true.
I don't know, Tim. Where do you stand on the smartwatch / wearables thing right now? Has it totally burned off? Is VR the next smartwatch?
I mean, I don't know if you'll see me in public walking around with a VR headset on.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
Although there is definitely a place for smartwatches. Especially with athletes, and if you're a runner, if you work out a lot, I see that as a lot of having a lot of use. But in terms of someone that wears watches for fashion reasons, I still just don't see it catching on. Me personally, if I'm wearing a smartwatch and I go out, I just don't like my watch lighting up when I'm out at a bar with friends or just out in general, especially just it's too bright. If you're in a darker, dim lit bar, if you're at a restaurant eating dinner with someone, it's just kind of not my thing, I guess, personally.
Yeah.
And just overall, I wear watches for fashionable reasons and, of course, to check the time occasionally. But
sorry.
I just see smartwatches as not fashionably there yet, I guess. If you're someone that wants to wear it out all the time with a suit and tie, that's why I kind of stick with using mine more of a for fitness reasons, but that's really about it.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, Apple, as one example, has really kind of doubled down on kind of the fitness aspects of
what
the Apple Watch.
What else
they
got too. Going on with the Apple Watch?
Well, that's what I mean.
Right?
Exactly.
There's nothing else going on with it.
What else are you going to do? The fitness aspect of wearables seems to be the thing that really resonates with people more than anything else.
Yeah, because that's an actual function. That's an actual application. And I think everything else is just fluff. So,
which is why I'm sorry, Tim, I laughed when you said, and to check the time, because it's like, it's such like the simplest thing. And we forgot that that's why watches exist in the first place.
Yeah.
To just tell you where you are on the...
Existed in the first place.
Yeah.
Now, fitness.
Well, and regular watches are more just fashion because you don't really need it to check the time if you have a phone on you.
Right. And actually, should point out, and we've talked about these on the show in the past, but, you know, like Michael Kors. I mean, there are these.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
Michael Kors launched them for Fashion Week. Like, he has a new Android
Fossil.
Watches now, yeah.
You know, there are kind of fashion brands releasing smartwatches. Seems more like it's from the angle of it's kind of a thing. So let's test it out
it
and
is.
See.
It is
and
just like the Power Packs, the Moto Z Power Packs, the Kate Spade and the Tumi. Like, it's just branding. It's just a way for people to show off. You know.
And then in a couple of years, there won't be a Michael Kors smartwatch anymore. That's what I'm wondering is, like, does
no,
it have
there probably
lasting
won't
power?
Be. Probably not.
Two
but
years
you
from
can
now,
still
are they
get
going to do an
Michael
updated
Kors
Michael
handbag.
Kors.
You could still get a regular Michael Kors watch, probably. But I think for right now, they just want to...
Yeah. Check it out and see. They don't want to be late to the party, let's say. The party that has disco balls. This episode of All That Android is brought to you, thank you sponsor right now, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. I've definitely, you know, had my time in the mortgage process, and I don't know, it's not the most enjoyable thing in the world. If what you really enjoy doing is finding pieces of data and thumbing through your stacks of paperwork to try and find the information that's needed to do the whole process, if you enjoy that, great. But if not, Rocket Mortgage can help. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. It's fast, powerful, and completely online. Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. So if you do hate searching through those stacks of old files and old paperwork and filing cabinets, all that kind of stuff, well, with Rocket Mortgage, you don't really have to do that. You can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs all at the touch of a button. That helps you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. And even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all of this with your phone or your tablet, where you do all of the other things that you do. It's a quick online process. You can manage it from literally anywhere you are, the convenience of your couch even. All you need is your phone. So if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, you'll want to check out Rocket Mortgage today. That's quickenloans.com/android. Quickenloans.com/Android, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. All right, definitely some app news, so let's check it out. Google Tricks.
Wow. You're dropping some beats there, Jason. I liked it.
Okay, so Google Trips is a new app that Google just released. I feel like we've been seeing pieces of this kind of
roll out,
leak out in little ways over time, and they've been testing it for a while. Now it's got an official release. So what it does is it takes you can see all these trips that I've made all the way back to 2005 when apparently I went to Las Vegas back in 2005. There's probably a reason that I don't remember that trip.
Because you went to Vegas, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's right, except for when Google trolls through your inbox. Trolls through your inbox and reminds you about that
find,
trip in Vegas.
We're going to find something on you, Mr.
Let's
Howell.
Let's see. But yeah, if I want to check out my reservations, I stayed at the Tropicana.
Oh my God, bless you.
I love the Tropicana. It was one of my favorites when I actually went to Vegas on a semi-regular basis. I don't do that anymore. But basically, the app allows you... So basically, it finds all this information in your inbox. It creates trips around that information and then offers up things that you can do while you're there, right? So I could go into things to do.
Drinking.
It'll pull up things.
Copious amounts of alcohol.
Ooh, I really like the Bellagio. I'll go there.
Fountains.
Maybe I want to go to someplace that's free. I'll go to Circus. No one's going. Yeah, I'll go to Circus because that's.
Hey, jeez, no, don't go to Circus.
Come
Circus.
On. Come on. It's not that bad.
I saw a show with a trained Jack Russell Terrier there once.
Are you sure it wasn't a German Shepherd dog?
No, but it was quite impressive.
GSD?
Yeah, GSD.
We had to stay there once for CES, and I left early because I was like, screw this.
This isn't worth it. Yep. You can fire me. Karaoke places. So basically, you go through here, things to do. You favorite all the things you want to do. Apparently, I want to go to Till's at the Blair to do some karaoke or karaoke. We'll go into saved places, and there they are. These are all the places that I've saved, right? It's going to be a romp a good time because I'm going to stay at the Bellagio. I'm going to gamble at Circus Circus, and then I'm going to go do karaoke at Till's at the Blair. So then what you can do is you go to day plans, and what it will allow you to do is take those things that you have planned that you've saved and create kind of itineraries that include them, and it does, and it looks at like location of these different areas. It looks at other popular things, and like this was created dynamically. I'm sure if I tap through here, it would give me some of the things that I was, you know, interested in checking out. It doesn't necessarily include all of them in a single trip, but gives you. There's Bellagio Conservatory, okay, you know, and it kind of lays it all out for you, so you can like plan a day.
That's perfect. This is what I have to do on my own usually.
Yeah.
Like, I'll have to go and make my own Google map that I download offline. And then, you know, this is our walking tour that I spent like 3 hours working on.
Right. Exactly. And it just kind of, it's basically taking doing the auto awesome of your trip.
Somebody in the chat room made a really good point. This is the beginnings of Google Assistant.
Yeah. Definitely the end of Google Now.
Yep. Right.
It was exactly what they had compiled into Google Now every time I would go on any trip.
Right, because a lot of this information would appear in Google Now, maybe less on demand, more in Google Now's sort of magical way. Here, it's a little more tied around like storing this for offline. So basically, I can go in here and be like, yes, I'm going to Vegas on this trip. Everything that I favorited, saved, blah, 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 I toggle that and it stores it offline. That way, if you're going to someplace, sorry, I keep getting reflections. If I go to someplace that, let's say I'm going overseas and I don't have data connectivity over there, or I'm going up into the mountains or whatever, all this stuff is stored on the device so that when I'm there, I'm not out of luck and I have access to it all. So really cool app. I really like it. I have not read this, but apparently, Brian,
we got
I think we got it. It's time. Are you ready?
What's happening?
For some breaking news.
Prancing Nougat in the meadow sings a song of satisfaction too.
Yeah, this is breaking ish.
Yeah,
I think so. I think it's breaking news.
All right. Artem over at Android Police just posted on Google Plus that we have Allo the logo.
But what I think is interesting is that he says tomorrow should be a fairly safe bet, I think, but not 100% yet. So are we going to see the release of Allo tomorrow?
Possibly so. There have been rumors that have been pointing to tomorrow as a date for the release.
I can't wait.
Yeah. What happens when Allo releases? Are we going to all Allo each other?
Like how we duo each other?
We duo each other all the time.
Yeah,
let's
all
face
the time.
It.
See, but here's the difference between Allo and duo, and I feel like Tim's going to have my back on this. Nobody wants to talk video face to face. Very rarely do you actually want to do that. But cross platform messaging with the Google Assist integrated into it, I want that.
Agreed.
Tim, what do you think?
I totally agree. Duo is a hard sell in terms of a lot of people don't want to just call people on video. I'd rarely know anyone that says, oh, let's just video chat real quick if I want to say something. But I just think it's going to be difficult to be adopted by widespread amount of people. I just don't, unless you're in the tech space, I think it's going to be a hard sell to see all of my friends start to adopt Allo, especially if they have an iPhone and they're already using iMessage. I could totally see them looking at me and just be like, oh, why don't you just get an iPhone and get iMessage? That is totally something my friends would say to me. But I think overall it will definitely do better than Duo. I don't know, because I still don't understand why they don't just integrate both of them into one, but I think it's going to do better, but overall I just don't see it with widespread adoption unless it comes pre-installed on every Android device. I think that's the only way it could really get traction.
Well, and I think that it's got to be also the cross-platform mention that you said, is that so many iOS users are using iMessage, but, you know, the number of times I'm in a group chat and then I respond and someone's like, why is this chat green? You know, be like, well, if you use Allo, we could all be on the same thing. And also I think that, you know, like I chat with a lot of my iOS using friends via WhatsApp. And so the real question will be, can Google take market share away from WhatsApp and WeChat and all the other messaging apps that are cross-platform that people are using instead of texting, Facebook Messenger, et cetera? You know, and that's really, you know, really Allo is their competitor for Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp, I think. So.
Oh, yeah. And it just kind of comes down to how much they're going to market it, to be honest. It kind of seems like they just need to get the word out at, hey, this is our new app. This is what it does. This is why it's better than the other apps that you're using right now.
Yep.
So Rev Danugi in chat said at 6:53, just a few minutes ago, either tomorrow or Saturday, I have the beta.
Oh,
there is no NDA on it. Okay. I didn't realize that there was how is there a beta and there's no NDA on it and no one's really talking about a lot of this stuff. he says Allo brings in Duo.
Yep.
So there will be a little bit of crosstalk there. Allo will work for iOS soon. And I don't know if we have really very much more than that. But I want that beta.
Oh, wait. We got the link in the Google Play Store.
Well, yeah. So there has been a link for a while. That is to pre-register.
Yeah.
But it's not showing.
A beta. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look in your list, it'll say coming soon, basically.
Right.
So I hope
come
tomorrow.
Now.
I want to see
come
it.
Now.
It's exciting.
It's not working.
Yeah, you thought that was going to make it like suddenly appear. That's too bad. I thought that.
Although it already has 4.9. A rating of 4.9 out of 90 reviews.
That shouldn't be possible. You shouldn't be able to rate an app that has not been released yet.
One user writes, the best. It's not even fully released yet, and I love it.
Okay, well, I mean, maybe these are beta users, all right? So if there is a beta and these are beta users, apparently they're reviewing it already.
Oh, yeah, there was a one from August 3rd. Best IM app ever. Awesome Google Assistant, cool smart reply suggestions, and cute stickers.
That's really speculative.
I know. A lot of this could be inferred based on
you guys, stickers are like the cool new thing, Just FYI.
So wait a minute. Bleak is installing. Wait a minute. This breaking news keeps getting more and more interesting, apparently. Have we seen a leak of the APK? Because apparently APKmirror.com has.
Oh my gosh. There's an APK.
So, I mean, I don't know how much it's going to work, how well it's going to work if it doesn't
have some
backup.
Wait a minute, Brian, that wasn't the right breaking news bit.
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I knew that there were
oh, come on, guys. We're policing Brian today. Come on. Let the man live. He's jet-lagged from his month abroad.
The Nougat one's pretty long. I want to change it
up. I love the Nougat one, though. It's great. I think it's the best one yet.
Yeah. Okay, so Flo, you go with the next thing. I'll see if I can install this and show it off.
Flo is going to go with the next thing. So, you know, moments in life are precious and beautiful, and Google wants to, you know, Google has been making stories for you of your precious and moving movements in life from your Google Photos library. Well, now, after a bit of redundancy from me, Google Photos is adding concept movies and in-app sharing to the Photos app. So what concept movies are, that's where the photo engine analyzes and pulls in pertinent photos that fit a particular theme. So the first theme they have right now is called quote unquote, they grow up so fast that will definitely make any parent cry. It tracks the development of babies in your photo roll on up to through toddler and early childhood years and produces a short montage film along that. So here we go. Here's what it looks like. Little stills, cute little. Oh my God, look, she's growing.
She's growing up so fast.
Oh my God, this kid.
If she goes to college,
kid is adorable,
I'm gonna lose it.
Actually.
That's all I'm saying.
If
they go to prom night, I'm just going to be tears.
I know, right? yeah, prom night gets me too. And then the other two themes that they have going on are called Summer of Smiles. It's your happiest smiling moments from the past 3 months of photos in your photo roll. So if you take a lot of selfies, I would assume the algorithm is going to pull all those and say, boy, you're one vain person, aren't you? And the special day will bring together events like weddings, birthday parties, etc., and turn them into a montage video. So,
cool.
I'm sure I will have plenty of those in there. And yes, now there's in-app sharing, so you can share those with, you know, other pals who have Google Photos.
They should add an option to filter out selfies.
I agree, actually. I wish.
Or they should have a slider for like narcissism level. And you can choose how much of a narcissist you are. There you go. I thought that would get a chuckle at least. Come on, Flo.
I'm just thinking about all the selfies I have, like infiltrating my Google Photos library and all the screenshots from the last like five years of covering Android.
But no offense, but you're not normal. I mean, like that's the thing. And it's funny because actually
the selfies are normal though.
Yeah, there should be a way. Actually, Tim makes a good point. Either selfies are a type of photo if you take a lot of photos or the things are clogging up your Google Photos roll. Because I know if you go look at my Google Photos account, there are just photos after photos of pinball machines with scores because that's how we prove that we got that score. But I don't necessarily want those photos to show up in a cute little movie from a trip or something, you know? So you should be able to say this type of photo exclude from these things. That would be neat. So,
but then wouldn't it be neat if Google could be like, I know Ron is a huge pinball player. Here are his favorite pinball machines or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, compose a montage of all your best pinball wins because, you know, the neural network is reading the numbers that are in the image. And it's like, oh, this is a score. I should put this into a little movie for Ron.
Maybe.
okay, so I've got it installed.
Is it working?
I've got Allo installed, and it says, welcome, please verify your phone number. So apparently I have to do that.
Do it.
Are you sure this is actually Allo and not some sort of
Yeah, are you sure
scammer?
It's not like some scammer?
Well, I trust APK Mirror because it's the Android police folks. If that's a bad idea, let me know. But I've always trusted what's on there.
I just throw caution to the wind.
It's not letting me verify my number. I think it's probably, I think I remember seeing that this is very limited. Like it's protected unless you're actually actively
part of it. Did you type in your number right?
The beta program.
You got to be on a list probably. They're probably checking it again.
Probably so. Ron, take the next one. I will continue my investigative work.
Okay. Well, Flo mentioned neural networks, and maybe because she saw this next story, which is that SwiftKey is now powered by its neural network in the background for improved text prediction capabilities following an alpha build that began last October. The SwiftKey neural network understands context better, so instead of simply looking at the previous word to guess the next one, it looks at the previous sentence and analyzes word relationships. So that's pretty cool. Neural networks working. I would really hope that they can fix the annoying thing that when I use like a period, it thinks it's the end of the sentence and gives me a space when I don't want that.
Yeah, you can turn that off in settings.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah, it's a good point. I've just been lazy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because I that annoys me too.
That drives me crazy. I need to do that right now, in fact.
Cheese makes a good point. I don't want to lock myself out of my Google account. Maybe I should stop trying
again.
To get Allo
again.
Work. Again.
Again.
Something that
Let's not
happened.
Forget.
Oh, never no, forget. We're never forgetting.
I will never
forget.
We
should get you
that.
A t-shirt. It's like a silhouette of you on TNT that day. Like I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with the disco ball behind me. So that's not going to work. I'm not going to get an Allo. We can just only hope.
Well, yeah. And tomorrow. I mean, if it comes out tomorrow, I'm sorry, guys. Just come back next week. We'll play with it. Okay. You know how it goes.
It's
Google
what we do
waits
here.
Until after we make the show except, to release stuff.
Except for right, its exactly. big hardware announcement, which is the morning
that's
of
true.
The show.
That's true. We get Google did that for us. We're not going to give them software, so we'll give them hardware.
Thank you, Google. Hiroshi.
Thank you, Hiroshi.
Hiroshi, we know you did this
we
on
know
purpose.
It's because of you.
We appreciate it.
I knew All About Android needed something on October 4th.
Oh, Hiroshi, how's it going? Oh, hey, look, I just wanted to thank you for timing the hardware event in the morning of, and we'll definitely talk all about it that night on All About
Android.
We're
going to talk about it all day.
No problem, guys.
I have to feel like that's why they scheduled it then. I feel they knew that we want to get the All About Android crew. So
Yep. Hey, we've got an email. Actually, we got a lot of emails. Remember, Brian had the not Brian behind the desk,
the guy on the bike,
but the guy on the bike. The very first time we've ever got a video mail with a guy riding a bike at the same time.
Surprisingly.
He had a bike navigation question. He actually wrote in, first of all, to say that he tried our advice, which was using Google My Maps to track the route. But that doesn't provide turn-by-turn directions, he says in the end. He was able to create multiple stops for the map, and in doing so, he was able to kind of get around that limitation a little bit, although that maxes out at 10 stops. But he says that's kind of working. But hey, we've got lots of people who wrote in about this. Tom Casper, Brian in Colorado, and Ben all suggested ride with GPS. That allows for route creation and turn-by-turn directions. It does have a basic plan of $50 a year or $6 a month if you want the turn-by-turn directions included. Otherwise, I think it's either free or a cheaper plan there. But that is, what is that? Ride with GPS is the name of that one. Ben, Jason, and Winston also recommend checking out Run Go. They say that you can create your own routes, do turn-by-turn navigation, and it also pulls up landmarks and points of interest while you're on your route. So when you're passing something that's interesting, it might surface that and say, hey, I don't know if you noticed, but the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I know it's Pisa. I'm hungry, okay?
The Leaning Tower of Cheese.
The Leaning Tower of Pepperoni and Vegetarian Pizza. I'm very hungry.
Oh, my God. I'm so hungry.
Yeah,
Why did you do that?
Sorry. It'll tell you that the Leaning Tower of Pizza is there. Sean also wrote in and says, our example last week was close, but had we saved the custom map, it would then appear in our My Places Maps tab in the map. And he says he does this for custom walks. So I didn't test that out. Check it out for myself. But there you have it. Bunch of solutions to that problem. Or to that task.
I'm just thinking about the old Chicago deep dish that's in Petaluma. So good. That place is so good.
Little Star deep dish in San Francisco is better.
I know, but considering...
We're not there.
We're not
Patches.
There.
Patches. Patches.
Yeah, Patches is good too.
Yeah.
Do you... what good pizza place do you have, Tim?
Oh, we got all kinds in Chicago. Gino's East, Blue Malnati's.
No, Tim, do you know what my favorite is? My favorite is Pisano's in the Loop.
Pisano's. Yeah, oh, Pisano's. They've got
toasted ravioli as well as deep dish. It's so good.
Oh, my
good.
God, stop it. It's toasted
ravioli. I haven't had the ravioli yet.
Oh, and then my hunger went away with the sight of Pizza the Hut.
Oh, man.
Just trying to help.
What?
I appreciate it.
Oh.
But we didn't see the part where the guy took the piece of pepperoni off Pizza the Hut and ate it. I remember, as gross as that scene was, I still kind
so
of wanted to do
that. So hungry for pepperoni right now.
Hey, let's take a break. Let's calm down before the arena and thank a sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. I have one here. This is not my front door. I know it might look like it. But if you were at my front door, you would find one of these. I have the Ring Video Doorbell, and I love it. It is awesome. There's a lot of really cool stuff happening here. And basically, it's to help protect you, as one example, from home burglaries. They happen every 13 seconds. Most burglaries happen in broad daylight. Burglars will actually ring your doorbell to make sure you're away before breaking into your home. The Ring Video Doorbell has been proven to stop burglaries before they happen. That's because you can see and speak to anyone approaching your door. using your smartphone. And now Ring is using their advanced motion detection technology to protect your entire property with a Ring of security kits. Kits include a Ring video doorbell that may include a stick-up cam, solar panel, chime, and a solar security sign. Pro kits include a slim video doorbell pro, the newer model of the doorbell, with crystal clear 1080p HD video, as well as night vision, which is really nice. It's hardwired, so you never need to charge it. The wireless and weatherproof HD stick-up cam keeps an eye on other parts of your property and allows you to hear and speak to visitors with two-way talk. You can plug the chime into any standard power outlet inside to know when you have a visitor outside, even if your phone happens to be in the other room. I have one of those as well. The illuminated solar security sign deters intruders before they get to your door, so they know you're protected. The Ring video doorbell and stick-up cam install literally in minutes. They give you all the tools, just a couple of tools that's needed to do that, and they go up really quick. Working together, they provide 24/7 monitoring of your entire home, whether you're in the living room or thousands of miles away, Machu Picchu or the Leaning Tower of Pizza. And it's a great security product. It's also just kind of cool to show people, like, here's my front door on your smartphone. I hear through the grapevine that Flo, you're waiting to be shipped a Ring video doorbell.
It's on its way.
Oh my goodness.
And
you have no idea what you're
in store for. My fiance is like, you should install it.
Well, you should. And then let us know how it goes. I'm pretty certain it's going to be pretty easy. Join the millions of homeowners who protect their home with Ring. For a limited time, All About Android listeners can get up to $150 off one of the Ring of security kits. Go to ring.com/allaboutandroid and check it out for yourself. It's really awesome. That's ring.com/allaboutandroid. All right, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one left. Arena.
Excellent. Looking backwards, we're going to go back in time. We go back in time to last week. What's up, Ron?
I'm really disappointed. I thought Symbol was going to do better. Sometimes I overestimate, I think, how much I like music. I think other people like music, too. But I thought it wasn't going to come in last. But I think it came in last.
I think it's important to represent your passion. And
it was a really good app. It's a really good app.
Yeah. I liked it, too. But I like the outcome this week because it's been a while since I've had a win, to be honest. Badland 2.
Dang, but we were neck to neck,
it was close.
Though.
It was really close, yeah. Badland wins. Badland 2 wins with 38%. Luminis is 36%. So only 2 percentage points behind Lumines, Luminis, and Symbol at 26%.
So with that win, Jason, you and I are tied again for third with 8 wins. Flo is in second with 9, and our guests are still on top.
Gotta
of 12.
Be the guests. Gotta
so
be the
Tim,
guests.
No pressure, but you are in the hot seat because you're part of the team that's winning. So
all right, that's good to hear.
Dang. Okay.
What does that say when our guests are showing us up, though, on apps?
Honestly, it was bound to happen because I feel like every year someone different has won. So
yeah.
Considering, Flo, you joined halfway through, you know, like partial through. Oh, no, it's been a year now.
Yeah.
Hasn't it?
I have been
here
for you.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, you got to
get year is your year,
next year,
Flo.
Yeah. There you go.
Unless you can.
I did pretty good for.
Yeah.
Half a year.
You never know. You're not.
You put together a run. You never know what can happen.
That's right.
So, Jason, do I go first as I lost?
That would be the case. Yes, you go first,
Ryan. Right.
And I've got it installed.
My app is an app that I found that gives you greater control over your display of your phone and allows you to customize when and how your screen turns on and off. Which everybody likes to have control of their phone, and Android is so customizable. So this will overwrite all the stuff that's going on in your operating system and allow you to specify exactly how you want your phone to behave. It's called Kinscreen, and Jason's got it right there.
I'm calibrating it right now. It says to set it down on the table.
So one of the things you do when you first pick it up is you calibrate it. You lay it down flat and make sure it doesn't get bumped or anything like that. And that allows you to calibrate the device so that when you use the proximity sensor and you turn on tilting, it's accurate. So that's an important thing to do. So once you do that, you see the main screen up on the top upper right-hand corner, that little yellow toggle that basically turns Kinscreen on or off. That's just the main, whether it's working or not. So you have it on. So now as you scroll down, you've got a bunch of different things that you can do. You can identify to turn the screen on by waving looking over the proximity sensor or just by uncovering the proximity sensor. And so that's, you know, the you know how there are a bunch of phones where you just kind of wave your hand over it and the phone turns on? If your phone is not one of those phones, now you can do that.
So, it just did it. It just did it. Yep. Watch.
Pretty cool.
Oh, it did it the first time. Yep. There we go.
So now once you check it, you see there it by checking the by waving of the proximity sensor or by uncovering the proximity sensor opens up a little submenu. So then you can add exceptions. You could say, okay, turn the screen on by uncovering the proximity sensor, except that the screen is off for a certain amount of minutes. This is where the in-app purchases come in. So this is free in the Google Play Store. And to answer a question in the chat room, this is non-root. This just works on your phone. But when you unlock the paid version, which I believe is $2.99, this unlocks all of the little specifications that let you get even more granular in how you set up your phone. And it's $2.99. So you don't need to buy it. You can. It's $2.99. All right. So now what you can do is you can set time limits for you can turn the screen on unless the phone has been off for 60 minutes or 30 minutes or 20 minutes. So you can set a timeout, which is amazing. So now as you scroll down on the phone, you can say keep the screen on by motion, except that the phone is tilted by 10%. So you can change the tilt factor, right? That's really interesting. And so you can also then say keep the screen on when it's tilted up more than 50%, the idea being that you're picking your phone up.
And you're holding it and you're actually looking at it.
Okay. And then you can also say keep the screen on while in call or charging, which is something that drove me crazy with previous versions of Android when the screen would go off in the middle of a call and I was trying to go back to it and I'd get stuck in that it's on, off kind of thing.
As long as it goes off when I put it up to my ear because you don't want that screen on and you're
well, and that's where the tilt settings would come through, right?
I see. Okay.
And then you can specify when you want to turn the screen off. You can say number of seconds after it was last on, number of seconds after it was on while on the lock screen, number of time after covering the proximity sensor. And then down at the very, very bottom, what you can do is you can say you can choose under more options, keep screen on functions active on lock screen. So you can keep your on-screen functions active while it's on the lock screen. And you can set the notification priority, whether you want to go minimum or maximum. And that specifies how the phone will interact when the lock screen is on and when you do get notifications in. So
nice.
Pretty neat.
Very cool.
Very powerful. It's called Kinscreen. You can download it for free in the Google Play Store, and then you can play with it a little and decide if you want to pay $2.99 to unlock all the extra cool features. So
very nice. Kinscreen. K-I-N screen. All one word.
Yep.
Very cool. I like the waving over to wake.
Yeah.
Nice. Excellent. All right. Flo, you're up next.
Guys, my app is a bit, you're going to be like, what are you talking about? But give it a chance. So I brought Pluto TV to the table today, which is a free TV app. And you might be asking, free TV? That sounds like it's too good to be true.
And?
I mean, here's the deal. Free TV is not as good as what you're going to get if you pay for cable or if you're paying for Hulu or whatever. Is not as good as that. However, if you're like me, a person who misses just going through channels and seeing what's on TV, and going channel to channel, and basically you need to fall asleep to the television because what else is that going to help you? How else are you going to fall asleep if you're not?
No kidding. Isn't that how everyone falls asleep?
I mean, the humanity of life. But anyway, so Pluto TV, it's a free TV service. I really like this app because it has Chromecast support. And so the way it works is all of these channels are curated by a team at Pluto TV, and they're all YouTube. It's like YouTube playlists. Not all of them are YouTube playlists, however. So, for instance, there's like a live Sky News broadcast. I realize this is the second week I'm mentioning Sky News, but this is how I like watch it at night, is I'll just like put it on and it's the live broadcast. And you can easily Chromecast. Actually, you can't Chromecast this one because of licensing.
Okay.
So not this channel, but you
can. So there are certain channels.
There are certain channels you can cast. Kind of the annoyance is that there's different like the Roku app will have different licensing than this version will, but for the sake of this being all about Android, there is an MSNBC, however, one that you can watch, which is awesome because they'll make the playlist like after it shows on TV. So you'll get it. I mean, you'll get, it's about like a 2-hour delay, but if you're just looking to like, just, you know, go through TV, flip the channels. That's all you're looking for. And you kind of just want something in the background. And sometimes I will find really good stuff on here, like really good documentaries. There's a documentary channel that will, like investigative TV, they will put up Reddit AMAs that they film. And so you can just watch whoever it was that filled out the, you know, AMA. Just watch him reply to everything. There's a CNET channel, for instance. There's a baseball channel if you just want to watch like classic games. This is 2015 Texas Rangers and the New York Yankees.
Oh man, that game goes down.
There's a skateboard channel. There's a snowboarding channel. This is my fave. There's a yoga channel. So if you want to like do some yoga at home, you can just put it on the yoga channel. It's pretty great.
So some of this is live streaming and some of it is
just YouTube playlists that are curated. But it's kind of fun because so here's like a channel that's just Mystery Science Theater. That's all cool. It plays all day. And so like if I'm looking for something to watch, I just want something on in the background, I'll usually put it on this. Just to have this in the background. There's a whole channel devoted to viral dog videos.
Please show us the GSD.
Just FYI, there are ads on this. So you will see YouTube's ads. So, you know, now when you watch a YouTube and there's an ad that plays in the middle of it, like you will see those ads because Google's trying to make money. You will also see the Pluto ads. So you still have to deal with regular ads, but that's what makes it free. Is not a GSD, by the way, but that is a dog wearing a diaper.
Oh,
just FYI.
Interesting.
There's a whole Oprah Winfrey channel. If you just need some like inspiration for the day, just put it on the Oprah Winfrey channel. I can't even say your full name. There's NASA TV. There's a Neil deGrasse Tyson station. There's a Steve Jobs station. It just plays Steve Jobs like interviews all day and like documentaries about Steve Jobs talking
really
about how great he is.
For
there's a station that just talks about Steve Jobs. And there's some music stations as well. So if you want to have like music videos on the background for a party, but you don't want to deal with making a playlist, just put it on one of these. There's a bunch of them all the way down to Weird Al. So Pluto TV.
Excellent.
It's a free app, completely free. It's Chromecast available. You'll see there's a little Chromecast.
Yeah, we don't have a Chromecast, anyway. I think. Yeah, I think that's connected to the Wi-Fi right now. I'd heard of Pluto TV. Yeah. I'd never actually checked it out. Yeah, and apparently everybody in chat is saying that the Android TV version of this app is really good.
It is.
One of the episodes of the Screensavers I co-hosted a few months back, we interviewed the CEO, I think, and talked about it. It was very cool. So
I'm really into it because I really miss flipping channels.
Yeah.
And I've always been a channel flipper and I like to watch random stuff. And you know what? Sometimes streaming, if I have nothing in my mind that I want to stream, I don't want to.
You get paralyzed with options because you kind of got to go through more work.
My generation, we grew up with TV, you know, we like to have it in the background. So that's just kind of my generation.
Oh, your generation. MTV.
We always have to be stimulated, my generation. Always up here, stimulated.
Excellent. Pluto TV. Maybe there should be a channel with nothing but Pluto from, you know, Disney.
There should be a Twit Network channel.
There should be.
I think Disney would have a problem with that, Jason.
Yeah, no, they don't do any. Yeah. They don't do any like big like it's all like free range, whatever.
Free range,
easy
locally
licensed,
sourced,
easily licensed,
some organic.
It's easily
organic.
Licensed.
Nothing but the freshest ingredients in these videos. Tim, what you got?
All right. So mine is, I guess, somewhat more of a basic app, but it's something that I feel that out of the box, Android 7.0 Nougat should have had natively. And it is called Parallel Windows. And it serves a few functions. Basically, what you can do is you kind of allow it to draw over the other apps and then enable accessibility services. And then
essentially it drops kind of a hotspot on your phone where you can kind of swipe over on the right of your device, which activates a panel on the right side. And this is one way you can just activate multi-window. So that's just one another added way to activate multi-window. And no, you do not need root access for this either. I've been using it on my LG V20. I did find that it worked a little bit better on my 6P at the moment. It is worth noting that this app is an alpha version right now. So there are a couple bugs. I have ran into a couple bugs here and there. But I guess in terms of not a lot of people having Nougat, hopefully by the time more of you do have Nougat, this will be out of the alpha version. But anyways, another function it serves, at least for me, is having the same app open in multi-window, which I don't know why Google doesn't allow you to do this, where I mean, just for one very quick example, I've used the calculator app. I've had it open twice, so then I can do specific calculations up towards the top and then use values down at the bottom if I'm trying to do side calculations. So that's just one example. And maybe if you want to watch one YouTube video, two YouTube videos at a time, you could do that. There's various needs for being able to open up the same app twice, and I think Android does lack that. So this does allow for that to become available and become an option. And then I guess when it comes down to it, it really just adds to the functionality of multi-window in terms of being able to just swipe from a side of your screen, which is an option in Nougat. If you go into your quick setting toggles, you can actually add a swipe up to enable split screen. I can't remember the name of those quick settings you have to activate where you press and hold the settings button up at the top. I can't remember what those are called. You have them activated, that little wrench next to the settings button.
Oh, yeah.
Up at the top. Mm-hmm. I forget, what is that called again in settings? I can't believe
yeah, it's
thinking.
Like UI system tweakers. UI. That's yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So they do allow a couple functionality changes to multi-window in there. But I just think for me, this would be something just in terms of a lot, giving you the customizability to enable multi-window from other options instead of just having to go into your recent apps and pressing a specific button to activate it. You can just kind of swipe over from any screen if you're in any app, and then you'll see you can just press on that button to activate it. Or you can just open up another app real quick and go into your entire app drawer to activate it. So it doesn't need to necessarily be a recent app. Like you're doing there, you have to go home, go to the app store. You can just swipe over, press the app drawer button, and then it brings up your entire list of apps, which is a great feature. And like I did mention, it is a little buggy at the moment, so hopefully that can be fixed in the future. But I guess in terms of if you do have a phone that runs Nougat, which I'm sure not too many people do unless you do have a Nexus device at the moment, it's worth a shot. It's worth a try. And then, of course, in the near future, hopefully it becomes more functional. And I just think overall it adds to the functionality of the multi-window.
Yeah, that's nice. And you can.
And I do know there's an option on tablets where you can have multiple of one app open at once. It shows it on their Play Store page. They basically have three, four Chrome applications open in one, and they're all in these little multi-window functions. So that's another added functionality to tablets as well, running Android 7.0 Nougat.
Cool. I like this. It is called Parallel Windows. Forgive it if you encounter a bug. I encountered one briefly, but I just swiped it away and continued on because it's in alpha right now.
Yep.
It's Parallel Windows.
I didn't know if those were allowed on here.
Absolutely. I think, right. Yes, especially because it is really hard to pick apps for the arena nowadays. We've blown through all of the obvious ones.
I picked at least three or four that I went on the wiki, and it was just like, someone had chosen it.
Yeah, I think the wiki is out of date again, too. So
it is. Since episode 272, I think, so we need somebody to step up and to update it.
Please. Please. And if you want to get involved, email us. I feel like we do this like once every like 4 or 5 months now. Because I think people take it on and then they realize like, oh man, this is a real pain in the butt. But we appreciate it. Thank you. It's really helpful to us. And I know it's helpful to people to like track where they can find app reviews on the show and everything, because there are a ton of apps in that doc. It's craziness. Mine's going to be quick. I'm not sure if, well, yeah. Mine's a winner.
We still have to do yours.
Yeah, it would be mine. Mine's going to be quick, though. I'm not a numbers person.
Me either. I wish
I was. I wish I was good with numbers. Sometimes like I get overwhelmed by numbers and I just want to like throw my phone out the window or other things. Depending on what I'm doing. So I appreciate an app that kind of simplifies things. This is called Percentage Calculator. And I know it doesn't, you know, it's not the most interesting app in the world, but it does what it does, I think, really well. If you get overwhelmed by numbers and you just wanted to ask you, you know, what percentage of 5 is you know, what 5% of 5 is 0.25. There we go. Or see, I get overwhelmed just like trying to talk about the app.
I feel you.
Tip percentage. There you go. It's got an advanced mode so you can like break it down a number of people, all these kinds of features here. All the way down. So if what you need, like for some reason, I'm stupid when it comes to percentage. I know that I learned this, and I know that it should be the easiest dang thing in the world, but sometimes like when you like twist it around and get it all backwards and everything like that,
you're not stupid,
I can't
Jason.
Undo it. Yes, I am.
Don't say you're stupid.
Well, I am when it comes to percentages. It's okay. That's why I need a percentage calculator stupid. On my
it's fine.
Phone.
It's fine.
Thank you. I appreciate the support. If you want to figure out things like a loan payment or inflation, I don't know how often you really need to figure out all this kind of stuff.
In our economy.
But you know, sometimes you need to jump in there and you need to figure out inflation. Am I right, Brian? I know I'm right. I could see you like nodding over there.
Yes.
Or were you nodding off?
No. Inflation.
Yes. Okay. All right. Good. See, we all need to figure out inflation from time to time. Maybe we want to figure out sales tax because
in Oregon,
it's important for us to figure out.
Is this state by state basis?
Yes. Yes, Flo.
Convert a fraction to a percent. Okay. All right. This is a really nerdy app. As I'm going through it, I'm like, yeah, this is probably going to get like 5% of the votes. But I'm okay with that.
But you know
that.
What? It helped you.
It helped
you don't
me.
Have to do math.
It helped me and maybe 5 other people.
I hate calculating percentage in the calculator app.
I do too. Anyways, 5% calculator, and then vote for me, please, because I need help. This week's poll can be found at bit.ly/AAAvote284, bit.ly/AAAvote284, and place your vote for either Kinscreen, Pluto TV, all these other apps are much better than mine. Parallel Windows or Percentage Calculator. Percentage Calculator. Place your vote. We'll check in on it next week and see who won. And that, as they say,
yay,
is
Brian!
That.
No, I remembered Pluto TV from when they were on screensavers.
I remembered
and
them. That's why I voted for it.
Well,
it's
also,
just, it's not because I actually liked your app.
If you hadn't mentioned it, Flo, I would have said the only reason I use it is for Mystery Science Theater. So, like, I just put that on in the background. So, and you mentioned it, so thank you.
Good. You got that point in.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the Brian vote, which is a very valuable vote. It's like
it
worth
is.
Like 5%.
That's what points. I missed while Brian was gone. His vote.
The pity votes. Yeah.
Because let me tell you, Josh is hard to get his vote.
Yeah, it is hard to convince Josh. Because it takes like 30 minutes of discussion about why he's going to decide one way or the other.
If he even votes at all.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He might be
I told him he had to vote. I told him he had to vote.
Tim. Really appreciate you coming on and dealing with our madness because we are mad these days. And I don't know. It's awesome getting you on the show. Thanks for coming
on. Yeah, that was fun. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
What is that?
I saw Brian cuddling him earlier.
Yeah, it's our new corgi puppy we have in the studio.
Oh, I didn't know we had that.
It's not a GSD puppy.
No. Got to work on that. Tim, so what do you want to leave people with? Where's the best place for people to follow all your work online?
Feel free to check out my YouTube channel. Go subscribe, youtube.com/QBKing77. Just going to keep some coverage going out on Pixel devices like we're talking about. Keep doing coverage on Nougat, LG V20, all kinds of stuff. So go ahead and click and follow.
There's Tim eating nougat.
Yeah, you can Sorry, find me nougat. On Twitter as well. If you feel free to tweet at me, I'm always. If you want to talk about anything, go ahead. I usually respond to most all tweets at me at QBKing77. So that's really about it. So hopefully I hear from some of you guys soon.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back. It's always a pleasure getting you on the show. Thank you so much, Tim.
Oh yeah. Thanks again.
I got to give Tim credit. Every time there's a new hardware release, he's on it. He's got a video out.
It's true.
It's always great to watch. Yeah, you hustle. A lot of respect.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. Flo, what about you? What's new? What's new in the world of Flo and Android Central? That? All right.
Working hard.
That was easy.
Working hard at Android Central. Come find me at Android Central. I've also been on the Android Central podcast. I mean, I'm just kind of settling in.
Yeah.
Still settling in.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, but don't worry, guys. I'm always tweeting my stories to you. So, of course, follow me at Oh That Flow on Twitter and Snapchat for my rants, raves, and sometimes I talk about Android.
Sometimes.
I talk about Android mostly on Twitter, but not always on Snapchat.
Yeah. Well, each platform has its pros and cons for things like that. What about you, Ron?
Cool. Yeah, I'm like Flo. I'm hard at work. Nothing too interesting to talk about. But if you go to about.me/RonXO and link on my links to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff, you can follow me and be sure you don't miss a thing.
And
don't want to miss a thing.
Man, this thing keeps getting closer. I'm more and more freaked out by it. Oh, it does look kind of cozy. What about you, Brian?
Well, I'm still kind of getting back in the flow of things since I was in Berlin.
This is so soft.
I want to steal it.
I'm actually like petting its belly like it's a real animal.
But anyway, just to wrap up the show, you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo, and I do a show with Padre, who is the master of distracting everyone tonight, with Know How on Thursday, so check that out. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up, but it's going to be kind of a crunch, because we're going to Maker Faire at the end of the month.
So, cool.
Oh.
Why are you showing me puppies?
Back to you, Jason.
To distract you.
Well, I don't have a camera either.
Yeah,
over
that's
here
true.
Yet.
Brian doesn't have a camera, so he has to show puppies. It's part of the rules. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. I'm working on a lot of music right now. I keep going to bed very, very late and being very, very tired in the morning, but it's okay because I do it because I love music and it's fun.
That's not good for
you. So I've got new music kind of on the horizon. I don't know when it'll happen.
Isn't it soft?
It is very soft. But you will find information about that at yellowgoldmusic.com someday. I promise, someday. And that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email or a video mail at AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show.
Oh, really?
We are on Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. We've got show notes of past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. We've got our episodes on YouTube, on iTunes, all over the map. And you can usually catch us live every Tuesday, starting somewhere around 5:30 p.m. Pacific, sometimes later than that, at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.
I want to throw him, but I'm afraid. I don't want him to get dirty.